Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just go verse 17. Oh. 17 up to 21. First Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Pray that your presence would just come and speak to us, help us to hear and to understand what you're saying to us, God, and help us to just connect with you, pray to you, and have a great start to our day, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, continuing on with 1 Peter, last week, I talked about the importance of just keeping alert, being sober in our mind, being fully alert so that we can make sure that we place our hope in what is to come at the end of the days when Jesus Christ is revealed and the grace that is to come. And then Peter exhorts us to be holy, right? He exhorts us to be holy. But if you read a little bit before the end of verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So he begins this idea begins his teaching with the idea that we are his children. We are his children. He is our Father. And so if our Father is holy, then we should also be holy. Be holy, like the one who calls you is holy, and the one who calls you is your Father. And as your Father is holy, and if you are a son of him, we should be like him. We should be holy. and then he continues on with this idea that God is our Father. If you look at verse 17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Can you read that again? If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. There is a very basic way to understand what that verse is saying, right? If you call on him and he is your Father, but he is also a judge, an impartial judge, then you need to conduct yourselves with holy fear while you're here on earth. Because what's Peter implying is saying, because at the end of your life and the end of your time here, you're going to face him. And he is an impartial judge. And he's going to judge you. He's going to judge you. You know, I tried so hard as I was reading this. I tried to read this in so many different angles to try and see it not in that way. Because I thought, man, that sounds a little harsh, you know? Does that mean I need to live my life in fear? I thought, you know, we talk about the Father heart of God, right? And how we are accepted. We are accepted, approved. He is proud of me. He is pleased with me just because I am, because he is my Father and he loves me. And that's the Father heart of God. And I think it's true. You know, that's the Father heart of God. We sing, "You're a good, good Father." And we have this idea that God is just so loving and kind and he's just going to accept us. And I think that's true. But at the same time, there are too many passages in the Bible that talk about this idea of God is a judge. And you and I are going to stand before him at the end of this life. And he's going to look at not just our intentions. He's not just going to look at our theology, but he's going to look at our works. And he's going to judge. So, I think that's it is what it is. You know, we can't get away from it. So it's one of those radical middles, I think. You know how we say word and spirit. You know, we have our churches, we want to be radical middle. I think the radical middle is Father and judge. He's our Father. And yes, he loves us. He accepts us. We're approved. He's pleased with me. But at the same time, we have to hold that idea with this idea that he is also an impartial judge who will judge us according to our works. Yeah, I don't think it's... Yeah, anyway, I didn't have a lot of time to come up with an illustration for this, but I was thinking about myself. Because when I was teaching GIC, I still am teaching GIC. I will be teaching one in September. When I first started out teaching GIC, I was very paranoid about this. I was very afraid that I would be too lenient. I knew how Pastor Sam is very strict. I've been under Pastor Sam, right, for GIC. And so I wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that I follow the rules very carefully. But just my personality is, I'm very, very nice. So I would be, I think people coming into class, knowing me, would think, oh, that's a nice teacher. Surely he's not going to judge impartially. Surely he's going to show grace, and it's going to be cool. He's going to be okay with whatever. And that's kind of, that's kind of the idea that we have of the Father. Like, oh, he's so nice. He's a good guy. He's a good Father. He loves me. Surely he's going to be okay with this. Surely he's cool with, you know, I mean, I'm doing my best. And he's going to be okay with it. And then, so people would have that attitude, and then there will come a day when I have to tell them, sorry, you missed this class. You need to take GIC again. You fail. Or you missed that line. You missed that one word. You're going to have to write this 10 times. And if you keep missing it, you will fail the class. And then, so, I mean, I've heard comments. You know, people would say, man, Pastor Nate looks so nice, but he is so strict and he's so scary or whatever. I was trying to be an impartial judge. I was trying to just do my job. I was trying to make sure that people just don't take advantage of my personality or whatever. I know, silly example, but maybe it's like that. I mean, God is loving and he is gracious. I mean, that's why he sent the Son, Jesus Christ. So, I was thinking. I'm sure when I say this, I mean, if you just take, you know, 2 minutes to think about people in your life, I'm sure there are people in your life that you would like to say this to. You would like to say, hey, don't you understand? You call yourself a Christian, but look at the way you live your life. You're going to be judged one day. The Father is going to judge you one day. Don't you understand that not everything is going to be okay? How you live your life here on earth, you're going to be judged for that. And I'm sure there are people in your life that you want to say that to. And maybe we can. Maybe that's what Peter is doing. And that's what Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. That's what he says. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. and he's going to recompense you. You know, in the book of Revelations, again and again and again, Jesus would say, I see your works. I see what you're doing. And I'm going to either reward you or I'm going to punish you. I mean, the difficulty is, how do you reconcile this with the idea that we're saved not by works, but by our faith in him? I mean, wrestle with it. I don't know, I've been wrestling with it. We could talk about it more, but we have to hold it both. We can't just go one or the other, like just one all the way and say, it doesn't matter what you do. Right? What's the implication of rejecting this idea is, it doesn't matter what we do. We can live our lives however we want to, and because Father is a good Father, he's just going to accept us. And maybe that kind of teaching is actually more detrimental to the church than this kind of idea that, hey, we are going to be judged one day, and so we need to repent. You need to get on your face and repent and be humble and recognize that, man, we could be in serious trouble if we continued on in this way. You know, if God is not a God that judges, then we don't have repentance. You know, I was thinking about that. If God doesn't judge, why do we even have to? Why do we walk in humility and repentance? If God is not going to judge, if God is just going to say, "Well, I'm a nice father, so whatever you do, it doesn't matter." You know, I know you're trying hard. Then I don't know. Then why do we have repentance? Why would anyone humble themselves in that way? Anyway, so he says that, knowing that, and then he says, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Peter, the way I understand it is, Peter is saying, man, you have been redeemed at a great cost. So don't waste your life. You know, have you seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? At the end of that movie, kind of at the end of the battle scene, I'm going to ruin it. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but if it's your fault. If you still haven't seen that movie, it's your fault. At the end of that movie, the idea is they're saving this guy, Private Ryan, that's played by Matt Damon, and Tom Hanks and his crew, his group. They're saving this guy. Their whole mission is to make sure that this guy, Private Ryan, gets to go home. Because I think his brothers have passed away or something, and they just think, man, if he were to die, what kind of impact would that have on the family? So it's like, that's their mission, is to go and save this guy. And so they go through all this trouble. Many people die to make sure that that Private Ryan gets to go home. And I think Private Ryan is about to be taken to safety, and Tom Hanks is like fighting the enemy right there, and he's going to die. There's no way he's going to come out of alive. Tom Hanks' character, he's the captain or whatever. I don't know the terms, but I think he's the leader of this group. Platoon leader. So he's a leader, and he's fighting. He's like on the ground because he's already hurt, and he's shooting at the enemies, and Private Ryan is going away. And then Tom Hanks looks at him, and he says, "Earn it. Earn it." Right? And then the scene changes to Private Ryan standing in front of the grave of Tom Hanks' character. And he says, you know, I hope I've earned it. You know, he's with his wife and he says, I hope I've earned it. And I mean, we'll never earn our salvation, right? We never earn our salvation by our works. But the idea, I mean, I understand the idea is, man, God has given such a great price for us to have this life. For us to be redeemed from our futile way of life, it wasn't just money, gold and silver, but it was the precious blood of Christ. And so shouldn't we respond to that with this heart of gratitude? Another idea that comes from this text is we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, meaning God considered you worthy enough to shed his blood for you. You know, there's a, I have, in my Bible, I have seven identity statements, you know, about who I am. You know, that it's really helpful because a lot of the times we have these wrong ideas about who we are. We think we're worthless. We think we are powerless. We think we are not good enough and things like that. So I have a bunch of things. You know, I am created in God's image. Just kind of remembering, man, I carry the image of God in me. I am, I don't know. I haven't done it in a while, but it's in my Bible. I am, God loves me. I have all of God's love right now because through Jesus Christ. And I have a bunch of things I say, but one of the things I say is based on this text. I am God's greatest treasure. Right? And this teaching comes from Dale Kaufman. Right? Ken knows Dale Kaufman. He's a YWAM guy. He used to lead King's Kids Ministry. He's been at SP before. I am God's greatest treasure. And his whole idea is that, hey, if somebody were to come to you and say, let's say Will comes to me and says, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you can just take Pastor Andrew's life for me, right? And I would say, no way. $1 million is not enough for me to take someone's life. Then what would be enough? $1 billion? Of course, no money is worthy of me taking somebody, taking someone's life. Someone's life is worth more than that. But God gave his life. He sent his son Jesus to shed his blood for me, right? And so the whole idea is I'm greater than any kind of treasure you could think of. I'm greater than gold and silver and diamonds. I'm more precious to God than all of those things because he was willing for me to shed the blood of Jesus Christ. So I am God's greatest treasure. And so that's another takeaway point in that text, you know, that, wow, yeah, God is, he looked at me and he said, I'm willing to shed my blood for this person, this my child. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he treasures us. And the last verse, it's just interesting, verse 20 to 21. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. It's this idea that before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, it was foreknown that Jesus would do this. So, I mean, you know, that has a lot of implications. That means before the foundation of the world, God knew what was going to happen. You know, before the foundation of the world, before he created anything, he knew that we would fall, and he knew that Jesus Christ would be the one to come and save us. I just think it's interesting. I don't know what kind of implications that has. I haven't had time to. Maybe it's too early in the morning for us to really think through the implications of that. But a lot of people ask us, right? Like, did God know that we were going to sin and we were going to mess up? And I think God knew. God knew. God knew. Before the foundation of the world, God knew that when he created the world, that the fall would happen. And yet he still created it. And he foreknew. But all the way back, before he created the world, he knew that we would fall and that he would come to bring redemption. So, okay. So let's go before God. It's Jay. This is Jay's last time. Is it going to be your last time leading us in worship? Wow. Jay's going to lead us in a song. Let's respond. Let's respond. Yeah, Father God, I just pray that you would help us to honor your scripture and not just go the extreme in one direction and just talk about the father heart only in the sense of, you know, we're just loved and accepted and approved. I know we are, and that's why you sent your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And our acceptance before you is not by our works anyway. But God, at the same time, there's this idea, God, in the scriptures, that we are going to be judged for what we do here on earth. So I just pray that you would put fear in our hearts, God, that we would conduct ourselves in fear, that we would live with reverent fear in this life. Yeah, that one day we're going to be judged. I just pray that we will not take you so lightly. You know, I pray that we would have holy fear at the prospect of standing before you. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of things, God, I'm wrestling with too. I pray that you would help us to come into better understanding in Scripture. God, I thank you, Lord, that we are your greatest treasure, that you saw us and you said it's worthy. You know, they're worth it. These guys are worth it for me to send my son Jesus to shed his blood for them. God, that we would know our identity, God, as your greatest treasure. Your greatest treasure. So, yeah, thank you, Lord. Help us to just sing to you and spend some time with you this morning.
Found me in weakness.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, in verse 18, when it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, but with the precious blood, that word redeem means also ransomed. The implication or the idea is that before this redemption or before this ransom, we were basically bound. You know, we were prisoners. We're in need of being ransomed. We're in need of being redeemed. And I thank you, God, that before you came and before you ransomed us and redeemed us, God, we were lost in darkness. We didn't have hope, God. We were destined for wrath, living this empty way of life, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you have saved us and given us meaning and purpose in life. You've given us life, God. You've given us a relationship with you. You've given us true joy, true satisfaction. You've taught us what it means, God, to be loved by you, to have a relationship with you, God. And so, Lord, I pray that, like the song says, God, that we'll be able to give our lives to you for what you have done for us. Lord. Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer, that are fighting cancer. Let's pray for God's power to be released on our friends. Let's pray for healing to come on friends. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's power to come upon our friends. Let's pray that they would be able to see the goodness of God, that Jesus would redeem and ransom their lives as well. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those that are going through various infirmities. Let's pray for healing and encouragement, strength to come upon our friends. Let's pray for our friends who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's guidance, God's protection for our friends, and God's leading for our friends. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for this city. Let's thank God for our government. Let's pray for all the ministries listed there, all the churches, that the Spirit of God would move powerfully through these ministries and churches, and that they will have everything that they need provided for. Let's pray for those that are going through a hard time. Let's pray for young people here that are sometimes so hopeless. Let's pray for the poor, the distressed families. Let's also pray for the domestic helpers in this city. Let's pray. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for Pastor Sam. He's still away in Israel. They're coming back this Friday night, Saturday early morning. Pastor Sam, Kenny, and Monica. And for the rest of the staff, let's just pray for protection. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for faith to rise up. Let's pray for each staff person just to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have deep intimacy with God, and also that we would have unity together. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for our hospitality team, welcoming and barista. Let's pray for the real love of God to flow through these ministries. Let's pray for anointing, and let's pray for all the volunteers. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead this ministry. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV team. Let's pray that through this ministry that the church would be able to really enter into a place of worship, praise and worship. Let's pray for the volunteers, the people that are serving on these teams, that they would first have a real heart of worship, that they would genuinely worship God, that what we do on Sunday would be an overflow of our private lives. Let's pray for these three ministries. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today, Tuesday house churches. Let's pray for God's anointing and grace upon each house church and all the leaders. They'll have a really amazing time discussing and sharing and praying for one another. Let's just pray for God's blessing over the house churches. Do we have the prayer up? Yeah. So we'll pray together just to finish. But the prayer for the stronghold is up on the board. So we encourage you just to use this as you have your own personal prayer time, that you would declare breakthrough again. So Father, we thank you so much for today, God. We thank you. I thank you for the word and just for speaking to us through the word. You know, the word of God challenges, God, our thinking as well. And so we submit ourselves to your word, and we want to continue to grow in our understanding, God, and we want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, God, as we read the word of God. So Lord, help us to really seek your face and really meet with you. I give this day to you, God. May we glorify you today, and May we live in such a way, you know, that we honor the sacrifice and the price that was paid for us to be ransomed, God, and to have this life with you. So thank you, God. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. We'll see you tomorrow.